Every one of us came from a past, and every one of us has cycles in our lives that we have to break. But there should be a progress towards a goal. There should be a progress towards a future with Him. There should be a progress towards where He wants to take us. I spoke with you a couple of weeks ago about breaking cycles. And that first part of it has to do with just the recognition of the cycle in the first place. And as we recognize the cycles that go on in our life and take recognition of it, then we can begin to submit it to that grace. We can come to a place of repentance for it and submit it to His grace that it will change. Matthew 6. Last time that we began to talk about this, we talked about the Lord's Prayer. And we were talking about the cycles to be broken. How in each of our lives there are different things that we do that we know don't wind up with the kingdom. But it was to represent the cycles that need to be broken. And verse 13, under Matthew 6, says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And we discussed how that wasn't, you know, that it wasn't God to lead somebody into temptation in the first place. That God's not here to put us into a temptation like that. So there had to be yet another. He doesn't lead us into the evil. He's continually delivering us out of evil. He knows, like He did with Lot, how to separate even one man out of the midst of evil. So He knows how to rescue the righteous. And we discovered that when we looked into Hebrews 3, we discovered that God was speaking about, lead us not into the temptation, was really lead us not into that wilderness experience, which is what the Jew would have understood the temptation to be. Was that experience in the wilderness, because that's what they called it. And because of that, what they were really saying there was that lead us not into temptation was basically lead us not according to those old ways. Lead us not according to those past patterns and past habits. Lead us not according to the things that won't enter into the presence of God. Lead us not according to the ways of testing and doubting and unbelief, but lead us by the Spirit. Deliver us from evil. Lead us by the Spirit of God. The very Holy Spirit that has come to transformation will also keep you in the safety of His presence. He will deliver you out of the evil. Be led by that new nature. To be led by that nature of Christ that's within us. The old creature has passed away and all things have become new. And it's in that all things becoming new that we're led according to the promises of God. We're no longer subject to the law, because the promises can bring us into a much greater place. That life of Christ within us already has the recognition of everything that needs to be done. Whereas the law sometimes we can position ourselves where the law doesn't even totally make sense. But when we're led by the new nature understands everything that's within us. The new nature is not judging us according to the external circumstance, but is judging us according to our thought and intent of our heart. For the Word is the discerner of truth within us. It's the discerner of the truth and the thought of God in our heart. It knows the difference between good and evil. And I can tell you, there's things that I've done that I did with the best of intentions, but it was wrong. And there's other things that I've done that would have looked absolutely wonderful, and everybody in this room would pat you on the back and say, oh, what a wonderful person. And if you did it out of jealousy or spite, it don't count. If you do it out of competition, it don't count. God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. Those are the things that He's judging us upon. Those are the things that matter in heaven. And I'm telling you now, because if you grasp it now, you can make a difference in your life and in the difference of those that are around you. Grasp what's eternal. It doesn't matter how good or bad something looks on the outside. What matters is, where is your heart? Where is your heart? What are you doing in your heart with this thing? There are things that God will walk alongside us in if our heart is against it. If we're truly setting our heart in alignment with His Word, He will continue to walk with us through something until a change manifests. A wonderful man that I respect. Ministered the Word like you wouldn't believe. And yet, he had this issue with smoking. And he hated it. But as soon as he'd throw those cigarettes away, on the same one service, and stomp on the lighter, and he'd buy another one on the way home. And this happened over and over and over. And he continued to hate it. And he continued to hate it. Until one day God said, okay, we've come this far, but there's something more that I want you to do. And I can't open up this world to you until you're ready to deal with that. And God's grace came in action. He came into that place and he was able to get free of it. And because he was able to get free of it, then God could begin to do things with him and take him into places that he would never have gone otherwise. There's no need for us to judge one another. We should need all to judge ourselves according to what God has put in our heart. For when we've been judged by God, it doesn't matter what someone else has to say. I'm sure that if I went around and took a poll, that certain of you could probably tell me different things that I need to take care of in my life. We're not going to take that poll, just in case you were wondering. But when you've been judged by God, I know what I need to work on, and I'm working on those things. And I allow God to minister to those areas. And if each of us will be as open with God about those things, it's not necessary for someone else to judge it. But the reality is, most of us spend a lot of time avoiding it. Instead of embracing it. I want to encourage you today. Embrace it. Embrace it so that you can be healed, so you can move on. God's got work for us to do. There's a presence of God that's coming into this house that will wash away all these things. There's a presence of God coming into this house that the glory, when the glory truly descends into a place, the flesh shrivels. And the acts of the flesh have to take their proper place. It's up to us to prepare so that we can welcome Him into the place. When God truly shows up, it's not a place that we can stand in the natural. So we need to be ready to move into the Spirit. We need to be ready to move according to the life of God that was within us. Not worried about our pettiness, not worried about our position, not worried about what it might look like to somebody else. But ready to move according to that life. Something that's greater than anything that we've known. More abundant than anything that we've ever imagined. Romans 8:15 tells us, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father." The Spirit of God moves us into that sonship. It is that sonship manifest within us. And that sonship that is manifest within us, when it begins to manifest around us, it begins to affect everything that we touch. It affects everything in the atmosphere. As you become aware of the Son of God rising up within you, that kingdom of God that's within, and walk in the dominion of this, you can change the atmospheres that you walk into. Where there's strife and discord, you can bring unity and peace. Where there's unhappiness, you can bring joy. Where there's unrighteousness, you can bring righteousness. When I was walking through my wilderness time, God had me in a job where I would go into these various businesses and churches and everything else across the city. And I learned during that time to become aware of this presence of God within me. And I would sit in a truck until I had a grip on that in my mind, and my spirit was ready. And I would walk in and I would literally see the changes happening on their face as I walked in the door. Because the Spirit of God is with you. And people that you were obviously having strife, sometimes you would hear them arguing outside the door, and you walk in and you begin to see the changes happening within them. Other people who looked like they were having a bad day, but when you begin to just open up and allow God to share something with them, it would change their perspective. One man, I didn't know who he was. He happened to be outside this church, sitting outside in his truck when I pulled up. And I went over there and just asked him where the office was, because it wasn't apparent. And he said, "It's right over there." So I'm walking in, and I walk in and I do what I needed to do, and I came back out and I was like, "Why is he still sitting in his truck?" And I walked over to his truck and I began to I just asked him. And apparently he had just returned from having a major heart attack and couldn't get out of his truck. And I began to pray with him and pray with him. And it didn't take long, 5-10 minutes. And the Spirit of God came upon him and healed him. And he got up and walked out of that truck and walked in and did what he needed to do. Absolutely, totally healed. Obedience to the movement of God within us. Obedience to that kingdom of God that he's already placed with us. The old things have passed away. Those old cycles can be broken as we begin to look into and fix our eyes on that kingdom of God. Last time I talked about this, I shared that there was a particular cycle that had happened. I'm glad to report that at least I've already begun to step into a newness of victory in that. This time, instead of allowing the cycle to manifest for an entire day, for 10 or 15 minutes, and then I managed to get a hold of it and change and begin to pray into it and release it. And as soon as I did, something happened. It changed the atmosphere. You can change your atmosphere. Each and every one of you can change the atmosphere around you. You can bring healing and restoration. Hallelujah. None of this was anything that I was going to do, but thank you for the word, the scripture. I believe he's positioning us as he begins that process of cleansing. He's positioning us. See, there's an outpouring that has to happen, is going to happen in this city. And he's positioning us. What happens in this for us is up to us. God can move any way he wants to do. But he's looking for a people that are hungry for him. He's looking for a people that are hungry for his presence. He's looking for a people who want to bring change, who want to be agents of change. I wish I could tell you exactly how all this is going to look. But I can tell you, it'll be different than anything that we've ever experienced before. That's one of the reasons that I encourage you guys to participate and do different things here in the services. Because, see, this next move is not going to just be about one man. It's going to be about a body. See, With Moses, there was one man who stood at the edge of the Red Sea and held up the rod of God, and the sea parted, and all of Israel went through. In the next move, Joshua came to the edge of the river. Where is that? Joshua 2? Three? Yes. They came to the Jordan. in Joshua 3. And in Joshua 3, we see that he comes to the Jordan River. And this time God says, all the men carrying the ark. He set the men of God to carry the ark. And he said, I want you, these men, to carry the ark out into the river and stand there. The men of God were to come into the river and stand, carrying the presence of God. You're carrying the presence of God. And see, this wasn't just any river, because see, it says that the river was in flood stage. Those, verse 15, those who carried the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of harvest. It wasn't just a little lazy river running by at this moment. It was in fullness of harvest. And it's in fullness of harvest that the situation looks the most terrifying. But the deliverance is the most profound. Because as they began to walk into the river and began to plant their feet in the river and stand with the ark of God, the presence of God with them, the river backed up all the way to a city called Adam. All the things that had flowed down to us out of Adam were stopped in that deliverance. It's a picture of that deliverance from the things of Adam right there in that word as the river backed up all the way to Adam. Those things that come down from Adam don't come through the presence of God. And all of Israel walked across the river on dry land. They were not even to come within 1,000 feet. So can you imagine how widely spread a couple million people must have been walking across this river? It had to have been, just thousands of yards long, people walking across the river that's dry. There's a deliverance that he wants to do as you stand in the presence of God and as you allow the presence of God to stand with you. And it's different from the last generation, where one man stood with the rod. Now many stand with the presence. And it's going to be us together coming with the presence of God into the ark and into the river that God plants us at, crossing into that promised land, And it's up to us to cross over. It's up to us to allow that crossing over to happen within our heart first and then in the natural second. So I encourage you this week, allow God to minister to you. This last week, there's been such a, I don't even know how to describe it. I can't even describe, but I know that I've just come in here and I've laid on my face, and this God has just been doing a tremendous weeping and travail. An intercession. And some of it's been for me, but much of it's been for this move that he's fixing to do. And you got to be in Texas if you're saying fixing. He's about to do something, and it's up to us. And it can happen in your life. It can happen in my life. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that it's a ministry now of many, not just of one. That we can come into the fullness of your understanding this day. And Lord, as We come into that fullness of understanding. I thank you, Lord, for ministering to them in the love and in the grace. Lord, that we're not stuck with just having to do this in our own strength. Lord, for we've tried that in the past and it failed. But Lord, that we can call upon you and we call upon that grace this day for your mighty hand of deliverance. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay, Cynthia, you were good there. And then when I guess when I wanted to just minister that to you today, actually I had no intention of ministering any of that today. but what I do want to talk about soon is practicing his presence. Because see, it's in the holiness of God that the changes come forth. And we learn that by practicing his presence. And the more we practice his presence, the more God can begin to reveal his holiness and his love in us.